This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Friday. The Aspen-Pitkin County Housing Authority Board tabled a vote on whether to ban registered sex offenders from the housing program. They began discussing the policy earlier this year, when Woody Creek residents expressed concern about a registered sex offender living in their deed-restricted neighborhood. The board considered adopting a policy that would require background checks of all rental and ownership applicants. They could also require residents to submit one every 2 years when they need to requalify for their housing. But legal questions linger about whether the policy could be applied to existing tenants and owners. ABSHA Board Chair Carson Schmitz wanted to table the conversation to make sure those questions were answered.
The community safety, child safety, and the responsible governance of making sure that we do this right. I mean, those are not competing goals, right? They're the same goal in making sure that when we do this, if we do this, we do it correctly.
The ABSHA board will review the policy again during its June 17th meeting. In arts and culture news, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet shuttered its Folklorico program earlier this year after its longtime director retired. But as Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports, some of their old students and one Roaring Fork Valley nonprofit reinvigorated the program this month.
In the back of a dance studio in the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale, traditional Mexican folk music plays. Students are learning a folklorico dance, bringing back the tradition to the Valley for the first time in months. Three teachers lead, all of whom took dance classes for about a dozen years with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. 17-year-old Lisbeth Huerta is one of them. Dance Initiative, a Carbondale-based nonprofit, approached her earlier this year. She says she couldn't turn down the opportunity to teach a new generation of folklorico dancers.
We're just trying to like pass it down to them and just have them like remember it, like bring it back and like have them learn it. I feel like it was a big like opportunity and I did not want to let it go.
The class will continue to meet once a week throughout May with the hopes of a community performance later this summer. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
In statewide news, Albertsons announced Tuesday it has reached a $774 million settlement to resolve opioid-related claims. They were brought against the company by state, local, and tribal governments. Here's CPR Health reporter John Daly.
Colorado will receive at least $32 million from the multi-state settlement, according to Attorney General Phil Weiser. The company operates Albertsons and Safeway grocery stores in Colorado. Albertsons faced lawsuits alleging its company's pharmacies didn't do enough to prevent the overuse of opioids. Colorado is now set to get more than $900 million from national opioid settlements. The national crisis has fueled addiction and deaths, and states like Colorado have sued manufacturers and distributors. The company says the settlement is not an admission of wrongdoing or liability. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
Colorado has recorded a new measles case, the 16th of the year. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly again.
The State Health Department and Weld County Public Health have identified a measles case in an unvaccinated adult Weld County resident. The person is a close contact of previous cases in the county. Potential exposure locations in Larimer County at a primary care clinic in Johnstown and Banner Fort Collins Medical Center have been identified in connection with the case. Public health officials encourage anyone experiencing measles symptoms like fever, cough, and a rash to notify medical facilities ahead of their arrival to protect other patients and staff from potential exposure. This is Weld County's fifth case this year, tied for the most of any county. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
The National Lab of the Rockies, formerly the National Renewable Energy Lab, has tested wind turbines near Boulder for decades. But as CPR's Sam Brash reports, some are coming down.
The Flatirons campus sits in open, windy foothills. It's long been where the lab tests cutting-edge wind turbines, but it now plans to remove five of them, more than half the total. That's according to an internal newsletter. Sandy Butterfield spent decades as the lab's lead wind energy engineer. He's worried because it appears there are no plans to replace the machines.
And that, to me, signifies the dilution of the wind energy program and all things related to wind energy research.
A spokesperson for the lab says it's just retiring outdated equipment. But the decision comes as the Trump administration pushes to defund wind and solar research. I'm Sam Brash, CPR News.
And in regional news, President Trump is headed to Arizona and Nevada this week, where he's expected to tout his no tax on tips measure signed into law last summer. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez has this preview.
Many tipped workers don't have to pay taxes on some of their income starting this filing season. Less than 3% of all workers have tipped jobs, but that percentage is higher in areas that rely on service and tourism. Todd Cox is a CPA in Las Vegas, which has tripled the national average of tipped workers, according to the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. Cox says some of his clients are seeing savings.
People have been significantly and pleasantly surprised with the effect that it's had on their tax return. There's people who usually pay that are now getting $2,000-$3,000 refunds.
The new law has a cap of $25,000, meaning a tipped worker can only deduct up to that amount from their income tax. Qualified workers can also deduct a portion of overtime pay. I'm Yvette Fernandez in Las Vegas for the Mountain West News Bureau.
In Arizona, the president is expected to attend a Turning Point USA event. Plans for Nevada have not yet been made public. The latest report from the nonprofit National Center for Drug Abuse Statistics highlights some progress for tribal nations amid rising risks of increased youth drinking. The Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey has more.
Native Americans need treatment for alcohol use at roughly double the rate of all Americans, and access to treatment remains a challenge. In response, tribal nations are taking on greater roles in alcohol abuse programs. These include culturally focused programming and tribal action plans for adults and youth. The report shows higher rates of binge drinking and liver disease than in recent years. In indigenous communities, alcohol-induced deaths occur at 5 times the U.S. rate. Rebecca Newdecker is with the New Mexico Office of Alcohol Misuse Prevention.
We do have a focus on working with tribal nations in the state and tribal populations because there's a health disparity there.
Newdecker says her office holds an annual gathering of Native Americans where research and community solutions are presented. I'm Jenny Kinsey in Albuquerque for the Mountain West News Bureau.
A lawsuit that looked to overturn a national monument south of the Grand Canyon has been dismissed. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Peterazio has more from Arizona on the recent ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
The suit, led by state Republicans, challenged President Biden's use of the Antiquities Act in 2023 to set aside almost 1 million acres for the Baj Nawajo Itaktuveni, or the ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon. The judges deemed their claims, including lost tax revenue like that from uranium mining, too speculative. Senate President Warren Peterson, who was part of the suit, told KJZZ they pledged to keep fighting with the Trump administration to, quote, undo this illegal land grab.
Those are the words of a guy who just lost big time.
That's Attorney General Chris Mays, who intervened against the lawsuit along with Governor Katie Hobbs.
We defeated them, so this is a victory for our state, for these really important lands around the Grand Canyon that deserve to be preserved forever.
Over a dozen tribes have ties to this land. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.